WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. The Charlottesville area sees its first reported death from COVID-19. One Harrisonburg karate school pivots to a new business model in response to the outbreak. And in this time of pandemic and social isolation, we have some tips to help calm a racing heart or a troubled mind. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, April 1st. An elderly woman is the first person to die from COVID-19 in the Charlottesville area. The Thomas Jefferson Health District, covering Charlottesville and nearby counties, said the woman was in her 80s. As of Tuesday evening, the district had reported 61 cases of COVID-19. The woman's death has not yet been counted in the Virginia Department of Health's statewide total of 27 deaths. More than 1,200 people in Virginia have tested positive for the virus. The Virginia Department of Corrections announced Tuesday that three inmates had tested positive for COVID-19, marking the first confirmed cases among inmates in a state correctional facility. The inmates are incarcerated at the Virginia Correctional Center for Women in Goochland, the department said in a statement. Three employees and one contractor have also tested positive, the department said. Two of them work at the Goochland facility, one as an officer in training and one as a contract nurse. The other two employees who tested positive are in Eastern Virginia. A Virginia gun rights group is protesting Governor Ralph Northam's order to shut down the state's indoor shooting ranges as part of a series of business closings aimed at slowing the spread of the coronavirus. Northam's order last week closed dozens of recreation and entertainment businesses, including theaters, museums, fitness centers, and bowling alleys, because they are considered non-essential. Indoor shooting ranges were included in that category. The Virginia Citizens Defense League is asking Northam to remove indoor ranges from his order, citing an advisory issued by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security on March 28th that designated the firearms industry, including gun ranges, as part of the country's critical infrastructure during the coronavirus outbreak. The pandemic is also affecting school testing. The U.S. Department of Education has granted Virginia permission to cancel federally mandated student assessments known as the Standards of Learning, or SOLs, this spring. The Every Student Succeeds Act requires states to administer annual reading and math tests in grades 3 through 8, as well as science exams at least once in elementary, middle, and high school. Virginia's Department of Education is advising districts not to grade student work while schools are closed, but they are ultimately leaving that decision up to individual school districts. Well, Governor Northam is not just dealing with the pandemic. He's also considering hundreds of bills that lawmakers sent to him last month. The economic crisis shines a new light on one potentially critical decision. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
When Democrats took control of the General Assembly this year, one of their top priorities was raising the minimum wage. After some considerable drama, they sent the governor a bill that increases the minimum wage to $12 an hour by January 2023. Chris Bronlich at the Thomas Jefferson Institute says the economic crisis should persuade the governor to think twice about that.
By January 2021, which is when the minimum wage increases begin to take effect, we're still going to be in recovery. And the reality is simply this. If you raise the cost of creating a job, you're going to get less of them.
Phil Hernandez at the Commonwealth Institute says giving more money to low-wage workers is really good for the economy because they're more likely to spend it.
This COVID-19 pandemic is reminding us that many essential jobs in our community are actually minimum wage jobs. If you think about the people who are on the front lines of the healthcare system, the people who make sure that our families have food to put on the table, these people provide really vital services to us right now, and I think that they deserve a minimum wage.
The minimum wage in Virginia is currently the federally mandated $7.25 an hour. If Northam signs the bill, it would go up to $9.50 an hour in January 2021, and then up to $12 in January 2023. Lawmakers would then study if they could take a regional approach to raising it more in different parts of Virginia. I'm Michael Pope.
Well, now that schools and many offices are closed due to the coronavirus, families have more time for other activities, such as filling out the census. Although door knockers are on hiatus, advocates want every resident counted, especially the little ones. From Virginia Public Radio, Kat Modlin Jackson reports.
Every 10 years, residents are required to document who lives and sleeps in a single home on April 1st. But sometimes, family members get left out.
Children are actually the most missed demographic group. A lot of times when parents fill out the census, they either are confused about including their children or think that they shouldn't be counted.
Lauren Snellings, research director at Voices for Virginia's Children. The organization is part of Kids Count, a national network through the Annie E. Casey Foundation. Their data indicates that Virginia was one of the top states to undercount people ages 4 and under on the 2010 census. Snelling says that resulted in a loss of millions of dollars in healthcare and education funds.
So that baby missed that's not counted in the census this time around is going to be going to elementary school with overcrowded schools, with not enough funding.
Now she's counting on caretakers to make sure they get the numbers right for the next generation. The census can be completed over the phone, by mail, or online. I'm Kat Maudlin Jackson.
While businesses struggle to adapt to social distancing guidelines in response to COVID-19, one business in the Harrisonburg area, Brian May's Karate, is pivoting instead of panicking. WMRA's Randy Behage explains.
Brian Mays owns 4 karate studios in and around Harrisonburg. He says the phrase, "We don't panic, we pivot," has become their mantra in the last few weeks. They've moved their classes online, live streaming them 4 days a week, and uploading them to an online library for students to access anytime.
Pivot was what we're working on in our 5 to 6-year-old class the week or two prior to the mandatory closing. So we basically incorporated the "We don't panic, we pivot" based on what they're working on during class. And it has really stuck. For a martial art technique, it's basically the way we turn the ball of our foot to make sure that we can maintain balance and stay steady throughout the technique.
May says that almost all of their 600 active members have kept up with the online classes, from 3-year-olds to adults and beginners to black belts. If they tune in live through the Zoom platform, the instructors can see and interact with the students in real time.
They're extremely grateful that we're trying to keep some type of normalcy within the students' lives right now, because there's so many changes for the kids and also for the adults that we want to try to keep everything as consistent as possible, keep everyone really active, healthy, and staying connected.
And there are some benefits for students learning through video.
Once it's recorded, they can actually go back and slow it down, look at the techniques that they really need, and kind of play in slow motion, pause it, and do it their own.
For WMRA News, I'm Randy Behage.
Finally today, you may be experiencing more anxiety because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Charlottesville resident and author Lisa Jacob has written about her own struggles with anxiety, and she offers a wide range of techniques that can help calm a racing heart or a troubled mind. WMRA's Chris Boros recently spoke with Lisa.
Lisa Jacob joins me now from her closet in her home in Charlottesville. Lisa, it's so good to talk to you today.
Hey, Chris, thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Well, I know a lot of people right now during this crazy time are really feeling anxious, and those who have anxiety issues are really feeling it. So I wanted to bring you on and talk about it. And I guess I just want to first ask you, how are you?
I'm okay. I think that is the blanket answer that I've gotten used to saying. I think that's what so many of us are saying, like, we're okay. It's really hard to define how we're doing in any given moment, because I don't know about anybody else, but for me, it changes hourly. Sometimes I'm feeling optimistic and hopeful, and I'm being in the present moment, and I'm taking care of myself, and I'm taking care of my family, and I'm doing the things I know that I should be doing. And then an hour later, I'm crying on the couch under a quilt because it's all I can handle. And so I think so much of surviving this emotional roller coaster that many of us are on is just kind of being okay with that and understanding that these emotions are going to come and go. And that's very, very normal for this very, very abnormal situation we are finding ourselves in.
I want to talk a little bit about panic attacks, because this is something you've dealt with in your life and you write about it in your latest book. Can these occur more often when we're in crazy times like this?
Absolutely. We are in a time of heightened panic. What's really interesting is that we are now in this space where we're in a prolonged sense of sympathetic nervous system response. So we are constantly being triggered into this fight, flight, or freeze. And for most of us, flight is not an option. We are stuck in our homes, and there's nowhere in the world that we can go where this wouldn't be an issue. So flight is out. So we are left with fight or freeze. Relationships are being tested because people are fighting with each other because they're in close quarters. They've only got each other to talk to, and they have this panicked energy that they're trying to dissipate by fighting with each other. Or you've got what I do when I am on the couch underneath a quilt, which is freeze, where your body just feels like you are shutting down, you're exhausted, and you're essentially playing dead because you can't figure out what to do with the emotions that you're feeling, with the overwhelming amount of cortisol and adrenaline that you have going through your body because we are in a global state of panic.
Do you feel kind of like this sense of responsibility? You know, you've come out to talk about this issue that you have, and you've written books about it, and you do seminars. And is it weird that people now come to you for advice? Is that kind of like a weight a little bit on your shoulders or not?
I have always been really honest about the fact that I am not an expert, but I have been able to learn from amazing people, and I have had the opportunity to gather tools that I find helpful. And so all I'm doing is sharing those.
I think a lot of people come to you and listen to your podcast, read your books, because you're going through what other people are going through. And a lot of times when you hear an expert talk, you're like, do they even know what they're talking about? They've never had to deal with this before. But hearing it from someone who's going through it makes the other person kind of feel good because they're not alone in all of this.
And time again, I hear exactly that, which is that we just want to know that we are not alone. It takes a layer of pain away because we realize, oh, it's okay that I'm this way. I don't have to fight with this. I can work with it. And that feels a lot better and is honestly a lot more effective.
Well, Lisa Jacob, it is always a joy to talk to you. And just, I mean, talking to you today just has made me feel better. I really appreciate your time today and you coming out and talking about all this. You're a voice of reason and calm during these crazy times. So thank you so much, Lisa.
Oh my gosh, it's made me feel better too from here in my closet. So thank you so much for having me.
We have a link to Lisa's website at WMRA.org where you can find information about her books, seminars, guided meditations, and her podcast. Lisa, thanks.
Thank you.
To hear a longer version of that conversation, visit WMRA.org or the WMRA app. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you stay safely connected and do enjoy your Wednesday.